well. Let us start the scientific session. It is a privilege to introduce as first speaker Ramon Carbó d'Orca, that, as you see and has been mentioned before, this session is dedicated, well, all the meeting is dedicated to Ramon Carbó on the occasion of his 70th birthday. So, congratulations, advanced congratulations, properly. I have met Ramon Carbó 50 years ago when he was a student in the Institute of Chemistry of Sarriá. We were together at Paris in 68, working at Au Centre de Mécanique Ondulatoire Appliquée. Well, we are not the cause of the May events, I hope. After we were working together at the same Institute of Chemistry of Sarriá and also in the Institute of Fundamental Biology at the University of Autonomous of Barcelona. From this time was the slide, well, perhaps better here. This slide that, as you see, you were young at this moment. Almost all the people, some of the people are looking to Ramon with admiration. At least myself. I am looking. And after the other photography is one of the first meetings of the Quantum Chemistry Network of Catalonia. And this network has been very important in the development of quantum chemistry in our country, and Ramon was his creator. So thank you very much, Ramon, for this work. Today he's going to speak as first speaker about the a study on atomic populations. So Ramon, go on.
First of all, thank you very much to to the organizers to have thought about my 7th anniversary. In fact, it's a little bit earlier to celebrate, but I invented a novel, which is, by the way, published, a time warp machine based on Einstein, Podolsky, Rosen paradox, well-known paradox, which permits travel in space and in time. So maybe we are facing one of these travels of this time warp machine. And, well, in this sense, we are in the past, but maybe in the present, perhaps in the future, traveling into the past, or something like that. In fact, you will excuse me, because I will quote a Buddhist saying, which tells that what we are now is a consequence of our past, and what will be in the future is the consequence of what we are now. So in this sense, time is impossible to grasp in the sense of space, of course. So, and also, as I am old, and old people tend to tell tales about this past life. I would say that the present thought is based on a remembrance I had of Professor Mulligan in a meeting where I met him, but I never did talk to him. But I have still the image of him standing in a hall, surrounded by people talking one to another, but nobody to him. And I was looking at this man, thinking, perhaps we should go after him, have all these But I was a coward in this sense. I've been a coward in many ways. But in this day, at this moment, I did get the occasion as Paul Mézet has. He has a photograph of himself with Malik. I didn't even have the courage to approach him and say, but I'm telling him, I pretend that he tell whatever more, how one can say, whatever he is with this conference. So,
what is the, there is the,
oh, here.
Clearly.
This talk is this remembrance of Mulligan, but the other one is that performing quantum similarity computations, we need to know a little bit about atomic populations, because usually we are using this atomic shell approximation to approximate density functions in order to compare them. And in the ASA approximation, and for molecules in the so-called promolecular stage of the density, the atomic populations can be of help. And I was just thinking to know while at least two kinds of populations are equal or very different, or if they perform as the literature says. Mulligan population had a bad reputation since, I don't know, maybe the 70s or when a paper was published telling which were the drawbacks of Mulligan population. And from here I tried to clarify Mulligan populations in front of natural one-orbital populations. That's the idea of this paper. So all these points are blah blah blah, so I will pass them as fast as possible. That doesn't go. How to go forward? So as you know well, Mulligan was writing a set of four papers on atomic population, and he divided the density function and then made kind of, in the words of now, condensation of the density was divided in small pieces. And he talked, among other many other kinds of populations, of atomic orbital populations and atomic populations. Further on, like in 1990, Shigeru Fujinara even tried to rethink Mulligan populations, and in the spirit of Mulligan, and even find another kind of definition. In this case, based on dipole moment. But I will not talk about the alternatives of Mulliken, but on papers, a set of papers in the 80s, so earlier than Kotinaga, reflection on Mulliken population, which described what they say, I put natural orbital population analysis, but they say natural born orbital population analysis, but allow me to say natural orbital to make it short. In one of these three articles, I think that the first one, they described this natural orbital population. Natural orbitals, natural orbital population were described earlier even from the work of Lerner. But this kind, this time, Reed and all the others were describing apparently what was much better framework for atomic population. And in fact, then I will just compare or try to work with molecular populations and natural orbital populations in the sense of the. I will go quickly, otherwise that my time will be wasted in silly things. Then that's all these references are of people of my group, earlier or contemporary, to show that our interest in atomic populations is not a tale, but a real need for computing molecular similarity. So, well, that's kind of notation, but at the end, I will not teach you notation because I suppose that you are more than me to represent orbitals and everything else. So, also I will skip this Leldin natural orbital definition because it's well known to everyone, but Leldin's and Mulliken's natural orbitals or molecular orbitals populations, in fact, are the same. It can be shown, but for example, if capital QI is the atomic population of atom I, for all atoms you can write this expression where U and mu are simply coordinates of the orbitals involved over some basis set was overlap matrix is capital S, I, J, mu, nu. I and J refers to atomic centers, mu, nu to atomic orbitals. Delta P are natural or molecular orbital occupations. And you can see that the thing that I will use is to prove one of the supposed drawbacks of Mulliken population is this expression where appears kind of, you see, this sum over P, it seems better in this way. That's a sum over the all the basis set of atomic orbitals of basis functions you are using center at atom I, a sum over all the occupied orbitals, natural or whatever, or simple bulk molecular orbitals, the occupation numbers of those, and a product of two coefficients. One of them is simply the product, the result of the product of the overlap by the coefficients of the same orbital p, molecular or natural orbital p. So over the sum over p, that looks like a scalar plot. So that's the main point of one of the discussions I want to put you in. Because or the other authors, they listed the three main problems facing molecular population. The first one was the unphysical behavior of atomic orbital populations.
Well, when one says unphysical behavior, one means that atomic orbital populations had some physical meaning. Otherwise, they don't be unphysical.
And the problem is that is a drawback based on a definition which has kind of definition in itself, no? That atomic orbital populations are physical, but then molecular ones are unphysical because they have in a strange between gods. But that will be my first point which I will discuss based on this form I have shown you before. The next one is the dependence on the basis set, which I will try to discuss not in a very deep mathematical sense, but more showing you pictures of relationships between molecule, atomic, in this case atomic population, and natural bond orbital atomic population. You all see that sometimes there is a close relationship which makes you that both populations are the same, or think that they are the same. And in another case, not, but maybe we can discuss that too. And the third point I will not discuss because ionic systems will not use usually, and maybe I will study them later on, but in another time work somewhere in the future or in the past, who knows. And so we shall think about this great contribution, mainly first because they define a new way, in a new way, atomic populations, atomic orbital populations. But I think that even more interesting is the fact that they put these 3 points that every quantum chemist of today knows. No. If you say, because molecular population said, no, molecular population have a physical behavior there, and also depend on the basis set, and also, I was surprised to find this reaction when talking about molecular population in the quantum chemical community. But then I understood that when I read, I found out the origin of this way of thinking. So, as I told you, I will first of all talk a little bit about why the unphysical behavior of atomic orbital populations is a very logical mathematical behavior that has nothing to do probably with physics. I will be not confident about that, but I will say that the most surely is that at this moment where one can use a huge amount of basis functions, the all physical sense of the minimal basis set orbitals which in Mulligan times were used has lost sense and has transformed into kind of mathematical device. So to talk about atomic orbital populations as a physical thing, I think that's a little bit nonsense. So, and why it is a little bit nonsense?
First of all, the atomic orbital populations, q, small q, I, as I told you before, refers to an atom, a mu, to a basis function, an atomic orbital, if you will, are defined as this, in fact, that's already a scalar product. It's a scalar product of the density matrix for flow, but not in, in a well appropriate manner, I think. And the overlap matrix is a scalar product of these two matrices in the space of where both are. This scalar product gives the basis function population. And the sum of those basis function populations gives the full, the bulk, as Molly can say, the gross atomic population. But being a scalar product in any space, what you can expect? Sometimes it will be negative. By the way, provided that we are working in a real space structure, even if we are working in a complex space structure, maybe that can be a complex number. But well, I will say that hardly will be, but well, it could be think about that. Working in real space, if D has real number, is a set of real numbers, and S is a set of real numbers, this scalar product can be negative, a real number negative, or zero even, or positive. So, from the point of view of Mulligan computation, small q can be any number. So no wonder that Mulligan atomic population can be negative in some cases. And you can find that easily, just making a simple set of calculations on molecules with small basis set, molecules, the same molecule, set of molecules in large basis set.
One thing Xavi said, that they, in a small basis set,
we have been using a Spartan O6 because it can run in a very small machine and without many problems to choose about many methods and so on, just 34 calculations on in this case, a basis set which is large enough, and a basis set which is small enough. Certainly, in all these sets of molecules, some atomic orbital population become some, not all, some become negative. In a small basis set, never have, at least in this molecular set, I never found a negative. All Mulligan populations are positive. But natural bond orbital atomic populations are all positive in any basis set. In all the basis sets we have tested. But that doesn't mean that maybe there is some small basis set for some molecule which can give you a negative atomic orbital population. Maybe you can have, or the reverse, that in a large basis set, a Mulligan atomic orbital population for large molecule or for small molecule can be all can have all the atomic orbit of positive. But that doesn't prove the positiveness or negativeness of atomic orbit of population. Why? Because they are defined in such a way that they are a scalar, they can be constructed as scalar products. Why natural orbitals appear apparently in all cases positive? Probably because natural bond orbitals are a transformation of natural orbitals in a very, I will say, sophisticated way, and perhaps this transformation makes that the basis set is kind of prepared basis set, which is lying in this positive orbit of the Hilbert space, where all of the subspace of Hilbert space where they belong. I don't know. The fact is that they managed to construct these natural bond orbitals in such a way that these scalar products are always positive. But that has some meaning. I will say that just means that they transform basis set function as kind of positioning this Hilbert space which makes scalar products possible. And well, you can prove this kind of scalar product formalism for atomic orbital populations in so many ways that I will not give you more details, because with this first idea I think that's more than sufficient. So our conclusion was, well, perhaps the atomic orbital can be negative. But one thing is sure, that, and that can be also proved, and it is published in several ways, that the gross atomic populations are always positive. And that's the thing that it has importance to us. So if Mulligan atomic populations can be negative, so what if the summation of all that will be always a positive definite number? So for us that's sufficient. But it's interesting to see that, at least for me it was interesting to know that really this atomic bond orbital populations, at least for the test molecules, were, even for large basis sets, were always positive. So, and now the thing I want to show you is the beginning of this second part. Maybe the question could be stated in the following way. How different is a Mulligan atomic population from a natural one orbital atomic population? I will not compare anymore atomic orbital population, but just the atomic population, which are, I repeat, the ones which we use to approximate density functions through this kind of promolecular ASA approximation. So one of the first I think that's, yeah. And that's atomic populations computed in C21G in country 4 with this program Spartan over a set of large molecules, sufficiently large. This Kramer set is kind of test set for QSPR calculations, and is made of 21 molecules, and with a number of atoms ranging from 50 and so to 40 and so on. That's a large number of atoms. But the thing we did is to represent molecule populations in front of natural bond orbital atomic populations for the whole set, for the whole number of atoms. Why then? I would say that's the goal. When you compare atomic populations, you should compare atomic populations, let's say, of oxygen atoms, or carbon atoms, or hydrogen atoms. That's a fluor atom, because in this set of cameras, then there is a molecule with fluor, no, hydrogen substituted by fluor. You can see what shall be expected, that there are islands of points in this correlation or say in this linear function corresponding to the hydrogen, the carbon. If there were, it's a pity, but this gamma set has no nitrogen. That's why you don't see anything in this position. But some oxygen sufficiently to make a block in this part. But the most interesting thing is the high correlation coefficient, with, if that means something, and the slope, which is almost one, and the origin shift, which is almost zero. That means that, frankly speaking, using natural orbital or molecular population for rough approximations of the density function will be the same, exactly the same. And you can see that in the whole set, or particularly molecular and molecular. Testosterone, which is a well-known steroid affecting behavior of humans and other animals in the sexual side. And you can see that, of course, the graphic, the previous graphic is just a, say, resume of what appears in every one of the molecules of the set. Yeah. So you have found exactly the same kind of behavior. Some molecules have the slope a little bit bigger than one, others a little less than one. And that means that for those with the slope greater than one, you have negative shifts, and for those with less than one, you have positive shifts, and that's the only thing that you have. We have also studied other kinds of molecules. Oh, that's the same, but interchanging molecule with natural bond orbital, and with other kind of molecules like flavonoids, which have an interest for OH people because they are antioxidants and things like that, then you find exactly the same. The blocks with carbon atoms, with hydrogen, and with oxygen. So, in fact, from the point of view of comparing one set with the other, you don't need to worry about that. With small bases. We have also compared, but I will not go through because my time is finishing. That's the kind of simple linear function we have used. We have also compared two basis set, the 21 with 60 to 1 basis set, and appears to be the same. When,
and perhaps with this I will finish, when you really find a kind of suspicious behavior is when you are comparing natural orbitals with molecule populations with a large basis set. Stradiol is another molecule of this belonging to this kind of set, where you can observe a bigger dispersion of the populations of carbon atoms. Oxygens, there are so few that you cannot see. But even so, the correlation is so good that I will not worry about that. But there is kind of suspicious behavior with this basis set where kind of diffuse functions are used. I have no direct explanation about that, but I think that in the future I could give one to you. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ramon, for very this deep insight in atomic orbital population. So now it's time for some comments, some questions, some reflections, and so on. You, please.
As far as I understood, some problems with the atomic population appear when orbitals are complex. And when they are complex, that implies that the density current doesn't vanish. So we have this kind of setup that we have local density currents in the molecule when we have complex molecular orbitals.
Yeah.
And this, of course, prevents stable atomic population, because if you have current, density current, then the population changes as that population associated with this very orbital. Well, this current in stable situation wouldn't appear because you have another complex orbital with opposite current, but the contributions are unstable. Am I right?
No. I was just saying that maybe in complex space molecular orbital, even this is called
the can be under conditions that the orbital is complex.
No. I'm working with normal real molecular orbitals and natural orbitals coming from usual computations with well-known basis sets, just to know if some atomic orbital populations can have negative values, and that's not a problem, because the same idea of the definition of the atomic orbital population may say that it can be negative, zero, or positive. But even that I don't need, because I'm working always with atomic populations, which by definition they are always positive. Then the other problem was, is there an atomic population set which is different from molecules? And that's the second question I was trying to do. Is behaving molecule atomic population in different way of natural orbital population? Of course, at large basis set, it seems that molecule population have more dispersion. Then the big question is, why that's more dispersion? I cannot answer why, but I can say practically they are the same.
Someone, I think the answer has already been given, I think about 20 years ago, and someone noted that diffuse functions are the deathbed of any population analysis. And the reason is very simple. A diffuse function distributes all over the molecule, far away, 10 angstrom away from an atom. There's still the function. And that means that electronic charge, which is far away from the atom, is still assigned to the atom as the center of this diffuse function. It's in parentheses and physical. Diffuse functions have been developed for very loosely bonded electrons, like in anions. So my advice is simply go to very large basis sets, very, very large, but simply avoid diffuse functions, and then you will get rid of this. This is a problem of diffuse function by itself, not for population analysis.
Thanks very much. Comparisons with large basis set without diffuse, and then we can ask as usual one to respect. That's no different between one and the other. But I'm here to know if there exists some mathematical reason which gives you the reason of this dispersion.
Concerning the complex, there is a theorem according to which any non-degenerate ground state can be described by real wave functions. The Monican population does not depend on phase of the wave function, so it should be real at least for non-degenerate function. Degenerate function, of course, will have you to use complex function, for instance, for p plus and p minus. States and where we have an orbital moment, we have a current, we have a magnetic field. So there may be that we will got complex even for Malikan population. I will never check, but I'm not sure. But it is important. And something else. It is only for complex problem for most cases, does not appear in most cases of quantum chemistry when they are deal with non-degenerate. I would like to call your attention that this curve looks like, okay, a good correlation 99. But if you take only the carbon, there is practically no correlation. And it is it already has been seen because the diffuse function cannot be assigned to either of the atoms. Mm-hmm.
Of course, yeah. And even you can argue about the statistical interest of a relationship like this. But if you compare atom by atom, you can compare hydrogen, you can compare carbon, you can compare oxygen, even from the whole set of molecules, then, as you say, well, you let, say, kind of statistically sound correlation, but then you have nonsensical physical, in this case I will say physical relationship. Why? Because within a unit molecule or a set of molecules, when you take the whole set of atoms, the sum of the set of atoms is the number of elements. The sum of atomic oxygen. If you compare just carbon atoms, the sum can be anything. Of course, less than the number of atoms if there is a unique molecule. Less than the global number of atoms if there is a set of molecules. Why? If you take all the atoms, you have this constraint, and this constraint you cannot avoid. So that's why I don't show you a partial relationship of the carbon atom or the oxygen. I have done, but I will not show because I found it kind of nonsense. You should have just all the atoms.
Just a very quick comment, that in a way you are comparing a quaternary correlation to two approximate solutions, basically, which are grabbing different aspects of physical reality, so you have a correlation which is not an extrapolation. But my question is, maybe it can be used for something practical. I suspect you could find some correlation of the scatter with the polarizability. So one could take advantage of that, even this scatter between the two approaching solutions, and make some
maybe I can show you. Oops. I don't know. Ah, yeah.
But you can see the scattering of atomic populations when you show Mulligan or natural orbital, because that amount is the same, in front of atomic number.
Then you have kind of lines perpendicular to the atomic number axis and parallel to the population, which gives you the extent of dispersion of the atomic population. But that happens in Mulligan population and in natural orbital population. Even, I don't know, yeah, the testosterone, the Mulligan. I'm sorry, because look,
that's the natural bond orbital has before with large base set with this diffuse function, and look, there is the same kind of dispersion as you find in Mulligan calculus. So there is something similar in both descriptions.
To be in the schedule of time, the last question. A practical question.
If we introduce a small chemical change in our molecule, replace one group by another, how sensitive the results of the Mulligan analysis will be to such small change compared to the changes in the NBO results? So it's a question of stability.
Question, but that's very interesting. I will try to answer in the future. But first, I want to answer why or which is the origin of those dispersions. If there's any possible answer, I would like to have it.
So, Ramon, thanks again.
Thank you.